Good afternoon. It is 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and it is time for Community Focus. I am Melvin C. Burns II. Normally, when you tune into this program, there are two of us, Gregory T. Roberts and myself. Gregory T. is still recovering from some surgical procedures. So, Gregory T., brother, just rest, get well. We're going to hold it down here till you get back. I can do this show by myself, but we do it so much better together. So get well, brother. Welcome to the program. We're going to cover a wide range of things today. We're going to talk about our brain health. From there, we're going to talk about something else that's healthy for our brain, good music. Before we do that, I have to give you the bad news, which is the weather. Don't blame me. I am just reporting, okay? Today, low of 27, high of 47. Tomorrow, low of 25, high of 41. Sunday, 60% chance of rain, low of 25, high of 44. On Monday, yes, that is a snowflake, 30% chance of snow, low of 33, high of 40. Tuesday, cloudy, low 31, high of 38. Wednesday and 30 expected to be partly cloudy, low of 29, high of 41. And then next Thursday, low of 31. High of 45. So even though yesterday was the first day of spring, we're going to ease into spring very slowly here, apparently. New segment we began a few weeks ago, top five news stories of the week. These are in no special order, and there is no special designation for these, just things that have been in the news. Going to switch it up. I'm going to start with sports. The NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. Some people say this is probably one of the most exciting times of sports, especially college sports, there is. Yesterday, the men's tournament kicked off. Did you have your brackets? Got your brackets set, or have your brackets been busted already? The women's tournament kicked off a little earlier today, so exciting times in college basketball. Earlier this week, the astronauts who were supposed to be on a 6-9 day mission turned out to be 9 months returned to Earth. Big story. I've been reading about all these effects that space travel has on our body that we really didn't know about before. So, but we're glad they returned home safely. I lumped these together. War in Ukraine. We thought we'd have a ceasefire, and things have escalated. The U.S. is dropping bombs in the Middle East. And things, again, we thought we had maybe a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, but apparently things are heating back up in the Israeli-Gaza Palestinian conflict. Number four, for our Tesla owners back out there, get your cars into the dealerships. Apparently we have a recall of Teslas. As an article says, they advertise themselves as bulletproof. That is probably not quite the case, nor am I advocating for testing that bulletproof theory, but they have a recall. Apparently there are some panels on the Teslas that fall off. Our fifth story, again, let's lump this all together. Stuff going on in Washington. Layoffs, budget cuts, court injunctions. You know, you can spend all day with the headlines coming out of D.C. They're, the 47th president and his staff are firing in all directions, hitting the target and misfiring at times. But they are certainly doing their thing. So those are our top five news stories of the day, of the week. Okay, let's get to a more exciting part of our program today. I want to bring to the microphone some guests who are going to do a tremendous job of educating us and informing us about a program that will be taking place in our community later this month. Would you join me in welcoming to the microphone, I believe I have here, Ms. Priscilla Agnew-Hines. Also, we have Mr. Ricardo Williams-Wilson. And also, would you also welcome Dr. Alvin C. Hathaway? I don't know if Dr. Hathaway's joined us yet. Okay. Let's do the Dr. Hathaway. Okay. While we're getting that connection, we have a program entitled Healthy Two Connections Presents Community Awareness and Neuroscience Research Initiative Brain Health. That's a big title. That's taking place on March the 26th, 2025, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Fronthal Center. We have Ms. Agnew Hines, who is the CEO and founder of Healthy Two Connections, who is sponsoring this event along with Access Health. Ms. Hines and Mr. Williams, will you both introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about the organizations that you represent? We'll start with you, Ms. Agnew Hines.
Yes, hello. My name is Priscilla Agnew Hines. I am the CEO and founder of Healthy Two Connections. We bring to you brain health community awareness programs that will foster a better understanding of how your brain relates to the functionability of your life on a daily basis.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
And Mr. Ricardo.
Hi, Ricardo Williams Winston from Access Health. I apologize for any background noise. I'm down here at our center or right on the corner of Broadway and Peck. So it's a little noisy, a little windy out there.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm the community program coordinator for Access Health. A lot of people don't know what Access Health is beyond our C3 insurance coverage. We do offer community-based insurance coverage, but a bulk of what we do is we foster a lot of community-based programs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Livability Lab is one of the main programs that we're really proud of. It's a 100-day challenge that brings together community members just to take a look at some of the issues that they see in Muskegon and how they can try to change that in 100 days.
Okay.
So right now we're in the midst of that, and that's where the Healthy to Connections and how we're all working together right now.
Okay. So just to kind of educate our listeners a little better, we have these livability labs, and they take on various topics over the past few years, correct?
Yep.
And so this issue of, is the issue of brain health where you were? Was it community health in general?
Well, basically what happened is I participated in the livability lab training that they were having, an okay. introduction, and I happened to be one of the champions, and so I won the challenge to okay. participate in this awesome program. And I tell you, you know, you just really don't even ever know what programs are available to us at our fingertips.
Okay.
And so with this right here, I feel very exclusive. How about that? Because to put you in the hands and in the space of the community as a whole,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're touching base and rubbing elbows with a lot of their leaderships here in Muskegon. Okay. And so for Healthy Two Connection to be a newfound business in community awareness program, I'm going to tell you, because God has just really continued to open doors of opportunity for us as a team. But what we're, our plans for community is we're going to put our combat boots on, and we're going to get out on the ground, and we're going to get things moving.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy Two Connection, you know, was founded because of my, I mean, I'm going to say because it was inspired.
Okay.
Because I lost my son 2020. He fell victim to fentanyl. Okay. So a lot of people, you know, they heard the word people passing away because of fentanyl, mm-hmm. but they're never really connecting the dots, because when you fall victim, mm-hmm. that means that something else caused that to happen, you okay. know, or someone else. And so mm-hmm. if you don't speak on these things in our community, you continue to stay in the stigma that we have been in for so many years. And so my group and I call it Voice Up, because okay. my son, he played drums. He was a singer, but he was a person that that invited everyone in. And so then you have to learn that, okay, he initiated this to me because he was a donor. And so he with that transaction, you know, the gift of life facilitated mm-hmm. the transaction to the Lieber Institute for Brain Development. They call me, and I have always been inclusive. I mean, I wanted to always understand mm-hmm. and include myself in the community, you know, but I always wanted to understand, you know, people that have diabetes and how do we get those things, you know? And so is it a DNA issue? Is it genetics? And so those are questions I had many years ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I received the call to ask if I would participate in this study for Black men.
Okay.
And I said, absolutely. This is a question that I asked. I wrote a book like in 2013, not knowing I would be in this space today. And so those are the questions that pertain to the book, you know? So with that transition, I have been able to visit the Lieber Institute for Brain Development. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hathaway is the co-founder, and he is a part of the Lieber Institute. Co-founder is that as well with Dr. Daniel Weinberger. He is mm-hmm. the and director of the Lieber Institute. So my son, I'm going to tell you today, and I'm going to say it very loud and clear because God said, Priscilla, be bold with this, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is history. And everyone in the Muskegon need to know, it has never been a study ever before on just the African Ancestry Neuroscience Research Initiative. So to be a part of that, I feel that God has opened up the doors of heaven to give us some understanding on who we are as an individual, you know? Yeah. So I'm not going to talk too much, but I need people to understand the importance of what's happening on March the 26th at the Front Dog. Okay. And so I encourage the community to come out and understand what the Neuroscience Research Initiative is all about.
Okay. And let me commend you on, you know, a tragic situation, making something positive, not just for yourself, for our community. That's certainly worth commending you on doing.
And I have a book coming out. It's going to be, it's called From Pain to Purpose. So this is where we are.
Okay. Okay. So, Mr. Winston, tell me, among the broad things that Access Health does, and I'm sure you get approached about doing, why are we gravitating with this event? What is it about this event that kind of spurs Access Health to be a part of this event taking place?
Well, this event is just one of the amazing things that came out of the Livability Lab. So this year's Livability Lab, we have, I believe, 18 teams total that are working on different aspects here in Muskegon. So we have a team that's focusing on transportation. We have Ms. Agnew Hines' team. So just being able to support the great things that people come up with at the Livability Lab is something that Access Health is really proud to do. Like from our past livability labs, kind of a tongue twister, we've had the How to Birth Doulas, which is an amazing program here in Muskegon and expanding into the Grand Rapids area. And we also have the TriShare program, which is now a statewide program that started at the Livability Lab to help address childcare needs for workers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is just another great thing that's come out of the Livability Lab, and we're just happy to support it and see it expand and go as far as it can.
Okay, good. So let me ask you all, this event on the 20th, you know, every week we get people with posters and flyers, and we try to encourage people to come out. And oftentimes it's saying something to get people to understand, why should I come?
Yes.
So we have this title, Community Awareness and Neuroscience Research Initiative. That's a lot of words. But yes. I want you to speak to our audience, speak to, you know, everyday folks that we know in this community, seeing this community. Why would I want to come to tell them why they want to come to this event?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why you want to come, first of all, because we're reaching a multitude, you know, and it's a very diverse group. Okay, and so our team, we have faith-based business about this, okay? Mm-hmm. And so because we need to allow our children, you know, my focus is on children, adolescents, because I think that, you know, God is showing me that if we don't get to the brains, he says the brain, mm-hmm. because if we don't change the thought process, before it gets tampered with, I should say, where they don't understand who they are.
Okay.
And so we want them to have a platform where they can stand up and have a voice, not just in their home, but in the community. Because I look back, you know, why is it that so many children want to commit suicide? Or why is it that our teens are struggling so hard to find their own identity?
Mm-hmm.
And because with neuroscience being a part of it, we have a STEM program, which is by Mr. Brother Rodney Coley, our neuroscience director, which is absolutely amazing at showing us the effects of the brain and how the brain is working. And so within collaboration with other community groups, you know, we're looking to be a platform where we can reach out. And I say that our group is more so of a resource brokers, you know. We're here to direct you. And with our team, we have young individuals. I have a youth group. It's called You'll See Them, you know. They're called Voice Up, you know. And so these are some of the programs that we're going to be offering in the community. And then we're looking to work with Mr. We just had a men's breakfast, you know. It was absolutely amazing. So we're getting the Black Men Brain Health going here as well. Dr. Hathaway, he's in the waiting room there. I don't know if you can see him. But he's over the AANRI, which is the African Ancestry Neuroscience Research Initiative. And he is the advisor for the Black Men Brain Health, where we were just in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, pre-Super Bowl, with the NFL football players. And so sat there in that facility, in that room, where doctors and everyone is trying. I have a Dr. Abigail. I've partnered with the University of Michigan, sports related emergency. And so she's one of our, she's our guest speaker for this event as well. So I encourage the coaches here in Muskegon, I encourage the teachers, I encourage all leadership personnel and I mean, coworkers, everyone need to be in this place, because you will come away with something. We have vendors, we have a multitude of things going on. Our youngest person on in our team, that's part of the team is Kalisa Williams, and she'll be a doctor. She'll have her doctors come this May. And so we want to make sure that we're uplifting our young people to continue to encourage and bring awareness in the community that we need to take a part of this as well.
Okay. Let's see if we can bring Dr. Hathaway into the program.
Yes, please.
I don't know if we're having some problems on our end, but as soon as we can bring Dr. Hathaway in, would you all just...
It was telling me that he was.
So we're having some trouble. I don't know. She said she's having some trouble getting him in. So we'll apologize for that if it's on our end. I know I believe I've spoken with him before, but if we can still get him in yet, we'll try and get him in here. I'm not sure what the issue is. Let me read for the audience the guest you have on the 26th. We have Dr. Alvin C. Hathaway. And again, we've spoken to him before, just tremendously information from Baltimore, Maryland, at the Libra Institute for Brain Development and co-founder of the African Ancestry Neuroscience Initiative. Rodney Coley, neuroscience STEM education here in Muskegon. If you have not met Dr. Coley, you will have an interesting conversation too with him. Pastor Joe Lane, K-12 Behavior Awareness and Community Engagement. And as I say, everybody knows Pastor Joe Lane. Kalisa Williams, you just mentioned, he was a doctor of pharmacy candidate in 26.
Young woman.
Pardon me?
She's a young lady.
Yes. She's a candidate for a doctorate candidate in opioid research and community awareness. Minister Pamela Chandler, community and outreach advocate, and Dr. Randy Sanders, doctor of ministry, community leadership, and family engagement. Now, you mentioned that your organization is faith-based, and I think it's worth us talking about that you have this mixture of the science, you know, of neuroscience and brain health, along with the faith-based guests you have speaking. Let's talk about how we merge those two together as we talk about making ourselves and our community healthier.
Okay. Would you like to expand on it a little bit, Ricardo, or just me? I'm going to go ahead and tell you that.
I got to read this or I'll be in trouble. It says, okay. Great interview, Cousin Priscilla. This is going to be awesome. That's from Andre McClanahan. We got to get those shout outs from the family members in there.
Thank you.
Got to get those out there.
Thank you. Thank you, cousin. I'm going to tell you, because society, I guess they don't really understand how things really are collaborating together, you know, mm-hmm. because empowering your brain is empowering your community. You look at your society and you want it to empower lives. And so if your brain function is not healthy, mm-hmm. and this is what it's all about, mental health, brain health, you know, we speak and we deal with substance abuse, you know, alcoholism. So all of these things, because I am a recovery coach as well. And so I dissect and I try to understand what is going on in society today. And so when I look at young children or young teenagers or young adults, and not only that, your fathers, your siblings are being affected by fentanyl, okay? And if you don't get the word out, and if we don't learn to be bold and combine, you know, what goes on in church, it's part of our society. And so if we don't combine science to get the knowledge of what's really going on, how can we help the community as a whole? You know, so with what we're doing, and God has directed me, one pill can kill, okay? Mm-hmm. And so now you have to be really aware. And so our program is for the grandmothers. It's for the mothers that don't have the street sense, but they're raising other people, mm-hmm. children, or other, you know, other, I'm going to say their grandchildren or mm-hmm. nieces. But the effect of fentanyl, if you touch it, if you touch a door handle or a car handle now, you can be affected. And then they're going to say you died from an overdose and you had no intentions of that. So this is why this awareness is vitally important. I have aunties. I have people that suffer from Parkinson's disease. So we're going to deal with dementia. We have vendors there, Alzheimer's Association. They're part of our partnership with them as well. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be something amazing. Mm-hmm. So entire family.
Yes.
And we're very diverse. So we want to make sure that everyone is tapping into what's going to happen here on March the 26th. It's the day that my son passed away. So in remembrance of him, it would be 5 years on Wednesday. And so we're going to just celebrate because he initiated this to be a part of the nation's first study ever. And out of the 5,000 brains that are at the Lieber Institute for Brain Development, there's 700 Black men. So from the age of newborn to the age, the oldest is 102 years old. Okay. And it's global. So it's from Africa all around.
Okay.
And so the study is based specifically for the African American male. And so for my son to be a part of this and for Muskegon, I feel that it's nothing but a God thing. And my son says, you know, Mom, you have to do this, you know.
Yes.
So if we're not bringing awareness, so many other people are going to be in the same situation. They're not going to have any answers. People want to walk around and be quiet. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh, we can't talk about this subject. But if you're going to continue to be embarrassed, you're going to stay stigmatized. You're going to stay in the disparities that we've always been faced with. So I say, you know, break the chains and let's get out of that paralyzed state of mind and let's move forward so that we can help our community, help our children, and help, you know, a community as a whole. And so I just want to say thank you today.
Sure. Ricardo, let me ask you this, or ask you to comment on this. I'm a pastor in the faith community, and I try to keep my focus on spiritual health. Yes. But talk about the role that faith-based organizations, churches can play in particular in events like this. And as we talk about the issues that you deal with the Access Health, what role can churches play in that, and what we're trying to do here in our community?
Oh, most definitely. Churches play a huge role, because mm-hmm. for years, you know, church has been the epicenter of most communities, mm-hmm. right? And at Access Health, we like to look at the whole person, right? That's their mental health, that's their spiritual health, that's their physical health.
Yes.
So anytime that we can get any aspect of the person involved, whether it be a mental health professional or a faith-based person involved in the work that we do, and we love to do that. And just to speak to what Ms. Agnew was saying about changing the mindset, that goes to it, right? Because there's mm-hmm. so much psychology involved in not just the poverty mindset, but just being in a negative space, right? There's such a psychological part of it. And church plays part in that. That's where you go to get your values reinforced. That's where you get a lot of your core values from. So if we can work with churches to improve the health of the whole person, spirit, and everything, then we're definitely looking to do that.
Okay. Let me read the event again. It's the Healthy Two Connections presents Community Awareness and Neuroscience Research Initiative Brain Health. That's Wednesday, March the 26th. 2025, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Fronthaus Center. The admission is free.
Yes.
And also you can join on Zoom as well. We'll have something up on our webpage. But Ms. Priscilla, if folks want to reach you, they want to know more about your organization and the things you're doing, how can people reach you?
You can call me at 231-343-4678. Please go to Eventbrite under Healthy Two Connection and get your tickets so that I can keep count. And you can also register at the door. I invite all community awareness, substance abuse, depression. If you're dealing with any of the mental health issues, personalized trauma, you know, this is about suicide prevention. You know, I invite leaders. I invite, you know, government officials. We have some presentations that's going to be going on. I have some local poetry that would be done. And so I just want you to come out and enjoy this moment, you know, in a perspective of neuroscience, so that we can feed your brain. The children are going to have some free gifts. We're going to have some, we have a lot of information from our neighborhood, Access Health, public health. And I just want to say I thank you to the Muskegon Public Health. I am a recipient of the Lord have mercy, have mercy. I am a recipient of the opioid settlement fund. Okay. Yes. So this is my first grant. And I just want to say I thank you so very much. And I'm just looking for a great turnout for Muskegon, because this is something new and we need to tap into it.
Yes,
we do. Ricardo, 103.7 The Beat for always helping us. Okay?
You're more than welcome. Ricardo, folks want to reach you. Yes. How can they get in contact with you?
So you can call Access Health directly, 231-728-5180, or you can email me, rwilliams@access-health.org. Any community things that people want us involved in, please reach out to me. We love to just get out and help the community as much as possible. We have a lot of community-based initiatives that we are working with, and our whole goal is to just see Muskegon County in a better position.
Yes.
Ms. Priscilla Agnew-Hines, Mr. Ricardo Winston, thank you both for joining us on the program today. Thank you for educating our community today and the work you're doing to serve our community. We hope that you have an outstanding turnout for the event on the 26th. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and we look forward to seeing you out there. Okay.
All right. See you there. I'll be there, so it's definitely worth coming out.
And your cousin Andre said he'll be there.
Yes. So guess what? I have a team of cousins and relatives that will make sure that they're so. That's right. Spread the word, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you all again. We're going to take a little break. We come back. We're going to still talk about things that make us feel better. We're going to talk about music.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. Also want to, I forgot to say this in the beginning, Bisham Custom Series and Entertainment is the sponsor of our program today, and I want to thank them. Go see the Bishop for your custom auto upholstery and needs. When was the last time you went to the symphony? Have you been to the symphony? I know sometimes maybe some of our audience, that's, you may think that's not your thing. Well, there's all kinds of different ways to be introduced to the symphony, and we have a tremendous opportunity coming to West Michigan here at the Fronthal Center on next Friday, March the 28th. But I'm going to ask you to join me and welcome into the microphone the vocal powerhouse known as Shayna Steele. Good afternoon. I need some, I'm not getting any volume. Okay, there you go. How are you?
I'm so good.
Good. Well, welcome to the program.
Yeah,
I have to tell you.
Slam room here.
So earlier this week, you know, like my wife and I are trying to think of stuff to do, and I'm just flipping through. So let me see what's going on at the Fronthal Theater. And I'm flipping through. I go, oh, Shayna Steele. I don't know her. I'm flipping through. I read a little bit. I say, well, I hear the program American Divas. I'm like, this could probably be good. And as Providence would have it, I get in here today and I'm interviewing Shayna Steele. I'm excited to have you join the program. So I'll be there on the 28th for sure. I'm not just saying that because I'm interviewing you.
Okay.
But for our audience, tell folks a little bit about yourself.
I live in New York City. I moved here in the 90s. My dad was military, so I kind of lived all over the world my whole life, born in California, spent the primary years of my childhood living overseas in Germany. And then my dad retired in Mississippi. And then from there, I moved to New York and started doing Broadway shows. So, okay. And from there, I've had a long career doing quite a bit of work, different things leading up to this moment of being a soloist with symphonies all throughout the world. You know, I've sung background for Rihanna, Bette Midler, Kelly Clarkson. If you watch the Kelly Clarkson show, you might've seen me on there a few times. I joined her band on occasion to do karaoke. And I just travel around with my band. I've sung with over 100 symphony orchestras in the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful and powerful. If you've never come to see the orchestra and you like R&B music and you like soul music, then this is your time to start seeing the symphony.
Yeah. Talk about things, you know, again, you know, I don't grew up, I'm an R&B, you know, this year, Whitney Houston, Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin, you know, I'm that era. That's my music. But for people, you know, even if they're younger and kind of know their music, whether it's being sampled or not, talk about how we feel when we put that with symphony, which a lot of times, especially African-American people, don't necessarily equate going out with going to the symphony. Talk about how we meld those two experiences together for folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the mindset people have about going to the symphony is that it's uptight and mm-hmm. it's very formal. It's very conservative. And, you know, there are wonderful pop shows that are throughout all the symphonies throughout America. Actually, when I sang at the West Michigan Symphony last time, I did a show of just all blues. So celebrating Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey, mm-hmm. Billie Holiday. So there's all these amazing different programs, especially celebrating Black music. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that it is always such a joy when I can look out in the audience and I see young African-American youth, you know, out there, their faces out there just enjoying the music and cheering and singing along with me. It's such a rewarding experience to see see my folks out there.
Okay. And you've been to West Michigan and Fronthorn before?
I have. This will be my second time playing. So I guess I did a good job the first time. So they invited me back to do a whole new program.
Awesome. Welcome back. And so this particular production, The American Divas, is this something you've done for a while?
No, I actually debuted this program in the end of 2023 with the Rochester Philharmonic. It was supposed to debut in April of 2020, and you know what happened there.
Yeah.
So it was something that I had been planning for a couple years, putting the arrangements together, getting the orchestrations done, getting the band rehearsed, and then for it to just be a full stop. And I had to wait 3 years to debut it, but... Wow. Debuted to wonderful remarks from the audience, and they really loved the show. And so I've now performed it with three different symphonies. So this will be my fourth doing this program of American Diva.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and again, this is just a little bit of our audience getting to know you a little better. This will sound like a strange question, but for someone like yourself, when did you first realize that you could sing better than most people?
I still don't think that now. I'm humble to a certain yeah. point, but I mean, my mom and dad say, you know, at 2 years old was the first time I got on a microphone on stage. Mm-hmm. And I had great pitch and I had vibrato and I wasn't afraid to just grab a microphone and get on stage. So I think that I really knew it when I continue to work. When people continue to book me for things, mm-hmm. I think, wow, I must be really good at this. And I also get a lot of feedback from other vocalists and just asking me how I've been doing this, what have I done, what advice I have for them. So I think if someone is asking me for advice, then I must be doing good work.
Okay. And so when did you decide this is what you're going to do for a profession?
Singing, I really don't know how to do anything else. To be honest,
skills and anything else.
Yeah, there really wasn't time to do anything else. I mean, I grew up doing theater. My father was a singer. My sister is a mm-hmm. singer. I mean, music, you know, it's just been such a big part of my life. Not I don't want to say that education wasn't important, but
sure.
Music was definitely more important to me at the time. Okay. And it's worked in my favor. So I've always known I wanted to sing, that I wanted to be involved in the arts. And my husband is also a musician. My daughter is very musical. So it's just, I can't do anything else. I'd be bored out of my mind. I think the only other thing I think I'd want to do is open a vintage shop because I have a ton of vintage behind me. So that's my other passion. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah.
You mentioned people ask you for advice or ask you about the profession. Yeah. Part of what we do on this program, we interview all types of people.
Yeah.
And we always like to kind of ask people that question for people out there who thinking, you know, I've heard Shana Steele or I'm going to hear her, but I'm kind of interested in doing that too. Mm. You know, we can't cover it all, but what kind of advice would you typically, you know, say a high schooler walks up to you and says, I'm thinking, you know, I'm involved in some things in school. I'm thinking I want to pursue this. What kind of advice would you give them?
Take every opportunity to get on a stage. Take every opportunity that's thrown at you, even if you're afraid, like just do the scary thing. Mm-hmm. And also continue to train in whatever you're specializing in, whether you're, you know, an instrumentalist, whether you're going into the vocal arts or dance arts, or you want to go to college for theater. You have to constantly be studying. I still take voice lessons to this day, okay. You know, and I've been singing professionally since I was, you know, 15 years old, but I still visit my voice teacher. I saw her a few weeks ago and maintaining vocal health, taking care of yourself, making it a priority. You really do have to make music a priority, and it might mean you don't get to go to the party that night because you got a show, you have a gig the next night or an audition is coming up. If it's not a priority and it's not something that you love, it's a hard gig.
Yeah, that's so good you say that. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm on Sundays. All right, but say anything you do where people see you for an hour, a half hour, for them to understand how much work it takes for you to stand in front of them.
Yes.
And everybody sees showtime. But for you to talk about how much work you do, you still see your voice coach. That's a hopefully a message some of our aspiring listeners and viewers get, that you put in a tremendous amount of work for that program that we get to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to get too deep into some of the artists that I've worked for, because I had to sign NDAs. all of the famous singers, they're all still taking voice lessons. They mm-hmm. all still have their insecurities. They're all still working on their craft and want to be better. Mm-hmm. It never stops. You always want more as an artist. And, I'll be honest, it can be a little heartbreaking as an artist, because sometimes not everybody buys tickets and comes to the show.
It's hard
to walk out and see empty chairs. It's not always, glitz and glam. I would say I spend 90% of the time just getting myself there. Mm-hmm. And then 10% of it is actually the 2 hours I'll spend on stage, the enjoyable mm-hmm. part. But okay. it's hard work that I love it.
Awesome. So let me ask you that. And this is so different from anything I do in my life. So I'm asking you a kind of question. So I apologize for that. So for you, you come out, you may do a production you've done how many times? When is it a good night for you when you go, okay, that was good?
If I have moved somebody with that mm-hmm. performance, I always I'm genuine on stage, and each show is never the same. Like, even what I talk about on stage or even how I interpret a song is going to be different based on the space that I'm in. Not only the physical space, but like the space that I'm in my head. Mm-hmm. I don't bring my stuff to the stage. Like, if I've got issues or, I got in an argument with my 12-year-old, all that stuff is left at the stage. So it's just, for someone to say, when you did this song, this was very healing for me. Quick story. I did a show over in Sweden a couple years ago, and there was a gentleman after the show that came to the merch table, and he said, I didn't want to come out. I had tickets for the show. I didn't want to come because my mother passed away this morning. And he said, I'm so glad that I came. He's like, this was so incredibly healing for me to be here. Because I spoke of my father's passing in a song mm-hmm. that I had written to celebrate his life. So
awesome. Yeah. And I can see that could be very satisfying.
Absolutely.
Now in the American Divas, will there be any of your original songs in this? Will this all be R&B music that we'll recognize, from the R&B Divas?
There will be a few of my original songs and also some covers that we've done, some incredible arrangements, like Whitney Houston's Saving All My Love for You, her very first single she ever put out, but it's done in a completely different way. When the song starts, everyone usually is so pleased as punch with it. I love to take songs that normally wouldn't, that people wouldn't expect me to sing, because I'm a soul singer. Everyone expects Chaka Khan and Aretha and Whitney for me to come out and sing that. But I have a Stevie Nicks tune that I throw in there. And I'm doing Stevie Wonder. Also, not just the females, but, it's really the American Diva. It's about me. But I'm celebrating all of them.
You've worked those other people in the show somewhere.
Exactly. But, Stevie Wonder has written some great tunes for female artists, like Aretha Franklin. I'm doing, what is the tune that he wrote? I'll think of it later. I'm having kind of a brain scatter right now. But yeah, Aretha, Never Loved a Man. And I'm trying to think what else is in there that they might. No, it's just, I'm also doing some Sarah Vaughan. I mean, I cover, all aspects. I consider myself a multi-genre artist. I cover rock and roll. I cover, theater. I cover soul, R&B, jazz, blues. Like you're going to get a full spectrum, but coming from a place of soul, because soul is my foundation.
Okay. I know this is an unfair question that you probably say you can't answer, but I'm obliged to ask you this. Do you have a favorite song in this American Divas production? I tell you it was unfair.
No, there's two of my favorites, just because I love the arrangements. One of them is an original tune I wrote called The Bloodline, which was inspired by you know, a lot of the unjust that's gone on in the world, especially mm-hmm. amongst, you know, in the African-American community and police mm-hmm. brutality. It was a song of hope and a song of like rising up from the ashes. And mm-hmm. The orchestrations that Jeff Tyzik did for this song were, the first time I heard it, I just cried. And everyone that's heard the song, I don't even need to tell them what it's about. They know from the lyrics. And as far as covers, the arrangement of Never Loved a Man is just, it usually gets a standing ovation. I don't want to set myself up, but.
Oh, but I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. I got a comment here from a friend and listener of the show. Okay. Miss Benita Threadgill says, how awesome when you live the life you love, you'll love the life you live.
Amen.
And she says, congratulations.
Thank you,
Benita. Thank you for listening and watching, Benita.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, you mentioned your father passing. I'm not sure how long it's been since he passed, but do you live long enough to see you on the stages that you've had a chance to be on and perform like you do?
Yeah, my dad and I used to sing together a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's seen me before he got to see me on Broadway.
In
two of my Broadway shows. And he actually, the last performance he saw me do was with a symphony, the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra. Okay. I mean, he was very sick and he made it out there.
Oh.
He made it happen. But he passed 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was tremendous for you. Yes. You know, part of this, we talked about it earlier, part of this this performance is where we as though it's called Tri-Symphony. And I don't know if you may not know all this background part, but it's part of an introductory package for people to come out and get some special discounts. To, you know, if they buy the ticket to this special rate, to just experience the symphony.
Mm.
And we kind of talked about it earlier. Again, I'm not a musical person at all, but one of the things I really enjoy is when we sort of mix these different genres of music. You know, we have, you know, R&B with the symphony, or, you know, gospel with the symphony.
Yeah.
It just kind of, I feel like it kind of broadens me as a non-musical person. I go, okay, I didn't, you know, to hear all these, you know, the different instruments you hear with a symphony orchestra, with music you might not hear when you listen to it on the radio. I'm old now. Listen to it on the internet or something. Again, for folks who, again, they're listening, they're streaming music, they're streaming, and they don't go out and hear live music. I don't have to sell you one, but, you know, when I go and hear live music versus just listen to it, you know, over my computer, I'm thinking, man, I should do this way more often.
Mm-hmm.
So just talk to folks just about that experience of just, you might have heard the song before, but hearing it live, hearing it with a symphony is just a different kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know who said this recently, music will save your life.
Mm.
But I truly believe that, you know, music is, it's so cliche to say music is the universal language, but it, mm-hmm. it really is. And I think that, you know, especially after the pandemic, everyone got real cozy, comfy, sitting in their houses with Hulu and Netflix, because you could be entertained and everything was brought onto your home TVs. But there is nothing AI, nothing can replace a live, a live experience. I mean, you as a pastor, I can imagine your congregation when they had to watch online. It's not the same in the room with you. I'm imagining that I don't know what your style is on the pulpit, but if you, I'm sure you give an energy where people need that in order to take the message into the rest of their week. And it is the same thing with being live with the artist and like feeling the energy of the drums or the timpani, like feeling that in your body. There is nothing like it. It is not to be missed. And I'm so glad that they're giving opportunities to first timers who maybe don't understand how prolific the symphonic experience can be. You know, I really look forward to meeting you guys. I will be out after the show in the lobby to meet people. So I would love to hear about what they thought.
Well, I will look forward to meeting you there. Again, folks, this is a community focus. We're on with Shayna Steele, who's returning to West Michigan. She'll be performing with the West Michigan Symphony. American Divas. I'm excited. Again, not just excited because I'm speaking with you, but I read about it. And I said, oh, this sounds like something I would enjoy. But speaking with you now, I'm going to have to buy a few family members some tickets so we can come and awesome. Have a good time. Let me ask you this question. What do you do in your downtime? I see the vintaging, and if my daughter watched my program, but she'd probably want to ask you some questions about some of the things in the background. Yeah. But what do you do to relax when you're not rehearsing and performing?
You know, spending time with my family is really like the most important thing. When I come home from a gig, if I have time, I kind of like to shut things down, shut social media down, just, you know, hang with my dog. I love to hike. I love to hang with my friends. I love going to the city to see Broadway and, you know, going to see music. But yeah, thrifting has been my, I even have an Instagram page just dedicated to my thrifting and vintage and consignment shopping. So that is what I like to do. And I'm also in school. I went back to school during the pandemic to finish my degree and I'm graduating in May. So I don't have a ton of downtime.
Congratulations. Oh, that's Thank awesome. You. Good Thank for you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you this. What do you listen to when you're just relaxed? I'm sure you listen to a lot of stuff, but what's your go-to?
I actually listen to classical music when I'm relaxing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a huge, I really love Bach and I love listening to my husband play. He's a beautiful piano player, as is my daughter. So sometimes I don't even need music on because there's music constantly going. We listen to a lot of vinyl records. So a lot of jazz, Yeah, I do. I'm a big fan of, you know, I love Duke Ellington Big Band. And I love listening to Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, you know. But yeah. And I'm really into like pop music right now. Like my daughter has really gotten me into some of these newer pop artists that are really good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. So let me ask you this. What, do you have some goals, some things, I'd still like to do this in my career. You know, I hate to use the word bucket list. It seems we get overused. You know, my daughter was 25 talking about a bucket list. I'm like, get out of here with that. But where's some things? Something, you know, he's like, yeah, I'd like to still do that yet.
I'd love to win a Grammy. I know that's like so. Yeah, I mean, it's not important. It's not important, but if it happened, I think I would be super excited about it. Mm-hmm. But I know
Is it the being recognized by your peers or just what would that mean to you when you say win a Grammy?
I think being recognized by your peers and, you know, with all of these award things, I think Academy Awards and Emmys and whatnot, in some aspect, it's who you know. And, you know, you got to put in a lot of press and a lot of money into it. And sometimes it can feel a little like, you know, I don't want to have to do that. Like, I just want to get it because I'm good. But it doesn't work that way. And getting the Grammy or not getting a Grammy is not going to stop me from continuing to pursue something in the arts. At what level? I don't know. I feel like even if you are famous and have won every Grammy in the world, I mean, for example, Beyonce has never won Album of the Year until Cowboy Carter. And she probably really wanted that. And she has everything. She has everything, you know?
Yeah.
She's got the kids and the husband and the hit albums and like the most Grammys. I think she has the most Grammys of all time, but she never got that Album of the Year. And I'm sure that every year she was like, but I want that.
You know? Yes. It keeps you going, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And this has been a tremendous treat having you here. We look forward to seeing you guys next Friday. We look forward to seeing you here in Muskegon. Sure, our folks might be joining us right as they end. Tell folks about the American Divas show and what it is that they'll be hearing in Muskegon next week.
Yeah. So it's March 28th, Muskegon, Michigan, with the West Michigan Symphony Orchestra, including my band that I'm bringing from New York to play with them. They're phenomenal, phenomenal musicians. You're going to be hearing songs by Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Stevie Nicks, some of my originals, some old blues. We got some, you know, Billie Holiday and, oh my gosh, Big Mama Thornton. I don't know if you've heard of her before, but.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yes, Big Mama, Willie Mae Thornton, and everything in between. So I hope you all come out. It's a wonderful program. You're really going to enjoy it.
Folks, it's at the Fronthal Theater, 425 West Western in Muskegon, Michigan. It's being sponsored by Smith, Hawley, Rice, and Rogue. They're the concert sponsors, as well as Mike and Kay Althoff. This is the part of the 24-25 Symphony Season sponsors. Tickets start at $19 for adults, $10 for students. You can go online and get your tickets. You can stop at the box office. I want to encourage you to get out and check out the show. Shana Steele, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to speak with us, and look forward to seeing you in Muskegon next Friday.
Absolutely. Me too. Look forward to meeting you and your family.
Okay. All right. All right.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Thank you. And what a day, what a show. Well, we started off talking about neuroscience and African Americans. And, you know, one of the things we didn't say in that interview, these medical studies come out. A lot of times African Americans don't participate. And so to have some research has been based on African Americans, it kind of hones, you know, their science, but it kind of hones a little more to us. So if you have a chance on Wednesday, get out to that program. At the Fronthal as well, and learn a bit more about brain health. I have some tremendous speakers coming from outside the state and around the country. If you want to feel really good, how about you make it to the Fronthal next Friday for the tremendous program? I'm really excited. American Divas at the West Michigan Symphony Orchestra will be joined with by Shana Steele. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous program. Folks, that's pretty much we're coming to the end of our time. Gregory T., continue to get better, brother. PA, I see you're traveling. Enjoy yourself. Be safe. To Big Rob, Lady J., everybody here at the station, it makes me look good and sound good. I appreciate you all. Folks, it's a little chilly out there this weekend. Wrap up. Don't put your winter stuff away. As my brother Gregory too likes to say, but go out and be a blessing to somebody else. Thank you all. This has been Community Focus.